DJ Khaled.
I'm getting so bad. I ain't with this song since I was 18. Apologize if I say anything I don't mean. Like, what's up with your best friends? We could all have some fun, believe me. And what's up with these new niggas? And why they think it all comes so easy?
Forget it, why you here, boy? Cause all that hype don't feel the same next year, boy. Yeah, and I'll be right here in my spot with a little more cash.
What up? Special Adam Rick, what up? Fame Ty G, what up? What's going on, y'all?
We're here for Black Culture to break down. We're here for a revival. Alright, today's a special edition of Black Culture to break down. We got a pre-show, we got the revival on. And you know, we about to get the King J on here from Pandora, hip hop director over there at Pandora. How we feeling, everybody? Welcome to early Black Culture to Breakdown. I know it's Sunday early, but we got two shows. We got two for you. So we want at 6 o'clock and then the premiere show later on. That, of course, you know. What's up, Christina? What's up, Life Prodigy? What's going on, everybody? Like I said, we're here for Black Culture to Breakdown. We're doing the pre-show, aka the revival. So we're gonna get my homie on the line, Jay, to come and talk to us about everything. I see him in right here. Poster child is in. My brother, you ready to be on the live? But yeah, let's actually get everything cracking. How we feeling? All right. Oh, my sound effects is actually not working. What's going on? Hold on. Psych. In the shmoney. What's going on, everybody? How we feeling? All right, Poster Child, we're about to get on this conversation. Welcome everybody back to a special edition of Black Culture The Breakdown. I am your boy, Jersey. All right, so we got, you know, Poster Child that's going to be popping the pop director over there at Pandora.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
So we're going to definitely get to talking. What's going on, homie?
What's going on, bro? How are you?
Welcome to the show, man.
Appreciate you having me.
Of course, man.
Good.
Coming on, man. Oh, prepared and ready, plaques in the back.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. Now, bro, give us a brief introduction, man. Let the people know who you are, man, and what you do.
No doubt, man. My name is J1. I am a director of hip-hop programming for Pandora Music. And I also do work on Sirius XM. Sirius XM and Pandora, one company.
Okay, come on.
Yes.
All right, if you didn't hear that, you should pay attention to me. Watch the replay. All right, that's exactly what he does. He works for Pandora, and he does programming. So that means if you're into music and all that type of stuff, this is the guy to be connected with. Man, you do so many different things. There's so much that I even want to dive into. But I want to even just bring it back to the beginning. How you even got into the game, bro. Just give us a rundown on that.
Ah, man, absolutely. I mean, I've always been into music and entertainment and stuff ever since I was a kid. And I actually started out as a DJ, and I'm originally from New York City. So when I moved to Atlanta, and after I graduated from school, I, you know, got with one of my peoples who was a full-time established DJ and really just really learned the craft from him. And, you know, I saved up my money, bought my own equipment. And I was fortunate enough to start DJing all throughout the city to the point like I was DJing about 6-7 nights a week here in Atlanta. And then I figured the next logical step for me was radio. So I was just very persistent and blessed to get an opportunity as an intern with Hot 107.9. And once I got my foot in the door, I just put in the work and worked my way up to a program director level. Was a program director in Indianapolis and D.C. And then almost 2 years ago, I got recruited by Pandora to run their hip-hop department.
Dope. What's
I like the sound effects.
Bro, I appreciate you. I'm here for it.
Yes!
You know what I'm saying? The fact that a black man is, you know, to be, well, you know, sometimes it's surprising that, you know, black people are at the forefront of hip hop. We are hip hop. But sometimes it's actually quite interesting to see that a black man can be in a position of power at a young age and kind of representing for the culture. So shout out to you for even just kind of, you know, being in a position to kind of do that. You know, that's
I appreciate that, man. Thank you.
So now with the journey kind of going forward, somebody said, how do I get on the Pandora playlist? Quan is on B. Not right now. The question is later on, okay?
No.
Not right now. All right, so Jake, real quick. Now, when you kind of was on that journey, you got into the position at Pandora, how did you prep? Like, did you feel like you had to study your craft? How did you get better at your craft to kind of help you elevate?
I mean, really, it's just always being a sponge and never stop learning.
Okay.
No matter what situation you're in or who you're from, I've been in situations where I've learned from people who were managers and who were like above me in the organization, but I learned just as much as people who were my contemporaries and people that reported directly to me. So it's, I feel like if you're going to be effective, you can learn something from everywhere. It don't just have to be from like a person in charge or a mentor or somebody like that. Some of my best ideas came from members of my staff. So I always keep my eyes and ears open as far as like, you know, where that next idea is coming from.
Now, how do you kind of keep the ideas fresh? So in turn, before we even figure out how we get the ideas, what exactly do you do as the hip hop director over there at Pandora? Break that down, like what that does.
So basically, I oversee all the Pandora playlists and stations that have to do with hip hop. I oversee the direct partnerships that we might have, whether it's with like if we do something with BET or Uninterrupted Radio, which is Mav Carter and LeBron James company and things of that nature. And then I also do work with our station on Sirius XM, which is called Pandora Now.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Got it. Right. So you pretty much help oversee the programming and basically what's the content that's pretty much coming out.
Yeah, pretty much. More or less. And then, you know, I'll do stuff with artists and educate them on Pandora and how it works. And we do virtual events now that we're in the midst of a pandemic. So I posted some virtual events. So anything to do with hip hop, I kind of like, I'm involved in it in one capacity or the next.
Got it. We got Mr. Rodney in the building from Married Millions. What up, Mr. Rodney?
What's going on?
But now, Jay, talking to you real quick now about the transition, how did you feel like it was as a black man kind of climbing the ladder in entertainment?
I lost you for a second.
Oh, you lost me? It seems like I lost me myself, okay? Am I bad?
Yeah. The question that you got cut off on was like, how is it being a black man climbing the ladder in entertainment?
Definitely. Yeah, and how was it doing that? Sorry, I was getting a phone call in the middle of the live.
Oh, it's all good.
How was it, you know, climbing the ladder and what was like the boundaries that you felt like the roadblocks that was up against you kind of just pushing through, even as a young black man, just kind of getting through?
I mean, anytime you're trying to break through or climb any type of ladder, you're always going to have some sort of resistance. It's never going to be easy because one, you're going for positions that there usually aren't a lot of. So anytime there is a low supply of something, there's going to be a high demand for it. So there's going to be more people after it. You're in the entertainment field, which everybody wants to get into. So that in itself is a challenge. And then you're in a place where, you know, essentially a lot of people are threatened. And it's not necessarily always people that don't look like us. It's people that don't look like us. It's people that do look like us. So, you know, at the end of the day, you're competing against all those factors. But my thing is, you know, my strength comes from my faith. I always keep God first, and I always just try to, like, be thoughtful of my approach, be creative, and think ahead, and just outwork or out-hustle whoever I'm there with, and make myself stick out, not just be average or complacent.
Yes!
Come on, that's a whole fact. Official Adam Reek said God first.
Yeah.
Courtney Starks, what's going on, bro? He's saying that's a whole word, J.I. That's definitely a
word.
Because, you know, bro, it's definitely interesting to see, you know, when you get into a field and you even look up to people. Let me ask you that. If you look up to people in your field, mm-hmm. maybe you're thinking that they can be maybe in a mentor role, and then you're kind of like, wow, now maybe the reception that I thought I would be getting, you know, in regards to maybe asking somebody to better my craft. You understand? Someone that's been having longevity in their
career. Right.
But talk to me if you've had that experience. Have you bumped into somebody that you've looked up to that kind of has been like not kind of the experience you were expecting?
I've definitely had that experience. I mean, that just, again, it comes with the territory. I've had experiences on the good side where, you know, you think it's going to, a relationship will turn out one way, and it turned out even better. And some people have become some of my, like, my biggest advocates or my biggest mentors. So you just really never know a situation until you actually get into it.
How important taking the risk now? Because you say you never know a situation until you get into it.
Right.
Sometimes we get very complacent in maybe like the way that we think, like, I don't want to act because I don't want to come across like I'm being pushy or
right.
Like there's a thin line between networking and maybe thinking that you're being annoying, right? So
yeah.
How do you know how to find that balance? Talk to the peoples about that.
You always want to be hungry and never thirsty at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like closed mouths don't get fed, and you have to take chances. You have to strategically shoot your shot at the end of the day. And you're gonna miss some. But the ones you miss, you just got to do your best to learn from those situations, and don't really count it as a loss. Just count it as a lesson.
Absolutely. Yes.
You know, somebody told me something which is like one of my favorite like quotes. He said, you know, never let a loss go to your heart. Never let a win go to your head.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. So I just take that approach. And just at the end of the day, trust my gut and trust my spirit, and really just try to be self-aware at the end of the day, and knowing like, okay, am I pushing this too hard? Am I being too extra? Am I getting on this person's nerve? Or am I like not being aggressive enough? And I think if you're always self-aware and you're always evaluating those situations, you'll know what to do. As far as like shooting your shot and taking a chance.
Got it. That's a whole fact.
Yes.
All right, man, bro, you focus some gems and dropping some gems on this, man. you know, I'm kind of in a space, you know, I'm a choreographer and a creative director. I have a school, mm-hmm. I'm in New York, I'm in Brooklyn.
Now,
I do that first. You know, I actually discovered, this newfound passion that's been kind of taken off in a crazy way. To kind of be in a space that I've been, you know, interviewing people that are successful at what they do so they can kind of give back to the community.
Because right.
I think a lot of times we get successful and we don't necessarily give people the tools to kind of get there. A lot of times there's so many people in the hood that are so talented and don't know how to get out of there because don't nobody tell them, you understand? So
right.
Just really now kind of like knocking down that invisible wall that's there for our people. But mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now about how important it is to be dope at what you do.
Because yeah.
Our people just want to be given stuff, right? We got to call a spade too, right?
Right.
Given, but they don't necessarily want to put the work in, and they're not necessarily great. I'm not saying they can't be good, but they don't want to put the work in to be great at what they do. Mm-hmm. How important is it to be dope at what you do?
You said how what? You broke up?
That, like how important is being talented and actually doing the work?
I think talent will talent can get you to your destination, but it's your character, your consistency, and your dedication that's going to keep you there. Talent will only get you but so far. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing to get to a destination or to get to a certain level. It's another thing to stay there. But, you know, you always want to try to be the best at what you do, especially in entertainment and hip hop. And you always want to be like forward thinking. That's one thing that I've always tried to do, no matter what level I've reached or, you know, what accolades I've gotten. You know, I'll celebrate it, but then at the same time, I'm always thinking about, okay, what's next? Because nothing in life lasts forever. And especially in the entertainment, it's kind of like the sport, you know, the sports game and stuff like that. Like, you know, Michael Jordan was the GOAT at the time until he wasn't, you know. And then you had Kobe, rest in peace, but then Father Time caught up with him, and now you got LeBron, and there's going to be a time when LeBron's going to have to say, okay, it's time for me to move on, and the next person's going to come along. And it's the same thing with anything like entertainment. You got your rappers and stuff that so-and-so might be hot for that season, for that year, for those couple of years, but then there's always going to be somebody newer and hotter coming along. So I'm always thinking about that as like, okay, what's my next move? What's my next elevation? Because I have to move up or move aside for the next person that's coming along. You should never be like, yo, I'm gonna hold on to a position forever. You know, you always want to continue to elevate and grow, and that's how stuff stays fresh. That's how you stay fresh.
Whole fact. Yes, the whole fact. So now, in the hip hop space, man, there's so much going on, bro. Like right now, I feel like there's an attack on hip hop. You know, in regards to that, I feel like there's so much turmoil, there's so much crazy going on. You know, right before I got on here with you, I was actually watching Lovely T. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Lovely T.
Nah, what's that?
She's a YouTuber that is
okay.
Like breaks down everything in hip hop in the dopest way, in the realest way, in the most unbiased way.
Okay.
She was, you know, like she was speaking on her views on, you know, the Academics, Meek Mill, 21 Savage, and Tory Lanez confrontation.
Yeah.
And just saying that, you know, she felt like it was backwards because their music perpetuates certain lifestyles.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they put out to the fans to do. So how dare you come at Academics for reposting the lifestyle that you perpetuated?
Mm-hmm.
But that was her stance on that. So
right.
And it's literally maybe 10 minutes before I got on the live with you. So interesting perspective to even come on here and not chop it up with you, because I know you're talking to a few of these stars. I want and yet you're a part of hip hop, so I want you to kind of give your opinion on, you know, what do you feel like is going on in hip hop right now and the stance.
I mean, there's always something going on in hip hop. It's just a matter of like what you choose to put your energy into.
Yeah.
I mean, me personally, when I'm talking and doing interviews with artists, I tend to try to stay away from, like, I guess, you know, the dirt or gossip or whatever. You know, there are other people that do that, and I don't knock it because, like, it's entertainment, it's good content, people want to know about it.
Yeah.
For me, I just, like, I personally just don't feel comfortable asking those type of questions. And that's not really what I personally want to know. I want to know more about, like, what are you doing outside of hip hop? What businesses are you running? What, you know, what are the things that we don't know about that you're doing that's positive in the community and stuff? You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
So, like, how did you get to where you're getting? What are some things what are some challenges that you've had to overcome? Because I think sometimes we forget that these entertainers are real people at the end of the day. And that's the kind of stuff that I like talking about. Like, you know, what's your relationship like with your kids?
Yeah, absolutely.
Things like that, man. So, I mean, I try to, I really try to take that approach, and you know, I talk about the music if they got a new project coming out, because a lot of times artists, they're very passionate about their music, and I don't think we realize the work that they put into putting out a song or putting out a project and things of that nature. So I really try to give people credit where credit is due and focus on that. But you know, with anything, like, you know, hip hop is no different. You're gonna have your good and your bad, but you just shouldn't let the bad outweigh, you know, what this beautiful thing that we all love called hip hop.
Hip hop. Yeah. Let's clap it up on this. But it's literally about just, you know, pushing positivity and really uplifting each other, bro. And, you know, and that's what I think, that is the element that hip hop is missing. I have to be honest about that. I do think that, you know, hip hop should be more progressive in wanting to help each other, and not so much about all the gimmicks and the craziness and all the gang, all that crazy stuff that I feel like the commons and all the stuff that used to back in the day is just not prominent right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I feel like we just got to make sure, you know, we help shape what music should look like, so we don't have all these fatalities like how we had this year.
You know, I mean, at the end of the day, like, I like all types of rap, man. Like, I like trap music. I like conscious stuff. I like the backpacker. I like emo. You know, if it catches my ear, it catches my ear. So, you know, I can't necessarily knock the guys who are talking about their experience or you know, glorifying what they feel is their particular story or lifestyle. What I will say is, you know, if, you know, you're rapping about that stuff and you're moving on from it, you know, and you're trying to get to a better place, like, I feel like once you reach a level and you become like a rapper and you're out there and stuff like that, you got to leave that stuff alone. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, you got to move on. Because that's like how you said, we have fatalities and stuff. And I think right now, you have a generation of kids that really try to live that lifestyle. You know? and that's the scary part. So that's really the balance that we need to try to find, because, you know, I'll never tell an artist that what they should or shouldn't like set, you know what I'm saying? Like, 'cause that just violates freedom of speech, and hip hop is at the end of the day is an expression, is an art, and like, who am I to tell you what your reality is or how you should say your art? But at the same time, like, the people that are listening to it or consuming it, or the people that, you know, that are allowing our youth to hear that, we have to do a better job of educating, like saying, okay, this is their experience. This isn't the way you should necessarily live your life. There are other options out there. There are other alternatives out there. I think that's something that we do need to work on. We do need to highlight more of the positive stuff again. Because again, even rappers that got dirt and quote unquote are messy, they got some positive stuff going on. It just doesn't get highlighted a lot because it doesn't quote unquote make for good TV. You feel me?
Fact.
Yes.
Instapat said, just be accountable for the words that come out of your mouth. That's a whole fact.
Yes.
But
yeah,
as an artist, I'm a choreographer, and I do feel like when you create it, nobody's not going to tell me how to do my
thing. Yeah.
So I understand that, but I do just make sure we have to understand that as artists, we have a responsibility of carrying, you know, the weight of people, you know, movies and music, all that stuff carries a nation. You know what I'm saying? It carries
generation. It does.
So you want to make sure that, you know, what we perpetuate is dopeness.
Absolutely. I just feel like sometimes hip hop gets a bad rap because, you know, there are other genres of music that have whatever you want to call it, demonic messages or things that we would deem inappropriate. But there always seems to be that separation. And, you know, you brought up movies and stuff like that. there's still that separation. It's still deemed as, okay, this is a show, this is acting. At the end of the day, like, hip hop is entertainment too. Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? So yes, they're talking about a lifestyle, but again, a lot of these artists haven't lived that lifestyle in a very long time. And some of them haven't even lived that lifestyle. They're talking about experiences that they may have heard about or seen and stuff like that. Come so, on. I also think we can't take it so literal to the point that it's just like, we're living what we're hearing. You get what I'm saying? I mean, hell, Denzel played a bad guy on Training Day and got an Oscar for it. But that ain't who Denzel is.
Nah. But you know what? But you would never hear nobody saying, I'm about to act like Denzel in the movie, right? Right. Now. You know, it'd be like 6'9". You know what I'm saying? Like, they trying to really, you know, it's really.
Yeah. And that's the issue, man. That's probably a bigger conversation, and I don't really have the answers for that, definitely. You know. But I just know it's something that we need to be mindful of.
Definitely, yeah, that's an old fact.
Yes,
man, that's definitely a conversation piece. Now, going into all these different people that you interviewed, I saw that you recently had Seven Streeter on, mm-hmm. And that was super dope. I also saw that you interviewed like YG. You know what I'm saying? So, and you've basically known how to navigate through conversations with so many different personalities, so many different celebrities. How are you able to be like, all right, with this celebrity, I got to kind of take it easy. I pick up the pace so it ain't boring. How do you have balance?
They have interviews that I've actually had to cut short because like the person was just either dry or not into it. And my thing is like, look, like if you don't want to be here, it's cool. I'm not gonna force the issue, right? We could wrap this up. We could either have a great conversation or we could wrap this up in 5 minutes. It's not gonna make a difference to me.
Let's just pack it up. Huh? Pack it up.
Right. Exactly. So I don't really get too caught up into that.
Okay.
But. You know, when I'm interviewing people, I do my best to do my research first and foremost, find out what's going on with them. And just, you know, again, just try to ask questions that are thoughtful, that I know they would be into. Prime example, YG. YG has a label. He has artists that he's excited and passionate about. I actually interviewed one of his artists, Day Soulon, who's a dope female artist. So I started talking to him about that, and that got him excited.
Got it. Okay.
You get what I'm saying? Because, again, that's something that he's passionate about. That's something that he's really putting his heart into. So it's just really finding out, okay, what gets this person excited? I remember interviewing Trippie Redd, and I found out he was, like, really big into anime and stuff. So we had a conversation about anime. That kind of just made it more conversational, and then he was open to talk about more stuff. But I think sometimes, you know, we'll make the mistake of we'll just go right in.
Definitely.
You know?
You're very smooth at what you do, man, because believe it or not, I actually took a look at the YG interview today and the 7th Street interview that you had. And because the interview, I downloaded the song Rodeo, I added it to my playlist.
Yeah.
Because I was like, yo, look at that new school and that old chill kind of.
Right.
That feel. But it's interesting just the way you're navigating through just like, I see the switch up talking to Seven versus talking to now YG. You got to know like, all right, you know, how to kind of like find the balance to kind of break whatever ice or whatever it is to make the conversations flow. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I asked you that just from someone that does interviews all the time as well. I was curious how you made those transitions. But you definitely don't ever jump into a conversation right away. That's definitely the wrong way to do it.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to go straight in asking about the gossip and all that kind of stuff. or trying to get that viral moment. I think that's a issue that, like, a lot of people or a lot of interviewers get caught up in. It's like, oh, we gotta make this interview go viral. We got to find that next viral moment. You can have good content and go viral without without necessarily asking like the dirty questions or the like who you messing with questions or you got beef with so and so questions. You know, there's different ways to go viral and stuff. So it just takes time, it takes research, and it just takes forward thinking.
Definitely takes forward thinking, time, and research, bro. It is definitely about being viral for a lot of these people that do interviews and bloggers and situations like that. For me, that's not what it's about for me, you know what I'm saying? Because if that was the case, I'd have been trying to go viral by now, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just want to be authentic to what I know and what I want to do, because I don't want anything to come back and tarnish, you know, what I really want to leave as my legacy. You know what I'm saying? So you
right
about how you want to set up so you can finish right. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
In the game plan. Now, talk to us about who are your top three interviews, man. You've interviewed mad different people. Who are the top three that stand out to you that taught you something?
Wow, that's a great question. Damn. I would have to say, you talking about just this year or just like of all time?
Dang, all time. That's a long time, right?
That's a long time. I'll just keep it this year then.
Okay.
So
now, you know, all time, man, your whole career, man, which interview, which top three has really stand out to you that you could really be like, yo, I remember that.
Man, okay. Well, I'll do a recent one first. This one actually hasn't come out yet. It's gonna we're actually gonna debut it on Tuesday. It's a virtual event. And I got a chance to interview T.I. and we did it at the Trap Music Museum here in Atlanta. So that was good, man, because I mean Tip is always just a great person to talk to. He's very thoughtful. You know, he's very smart.
Yeah.
And just all the stuff that he has going on. And he's an example of just being able to grow and elevate and pivot at the end of the day. So I would say the T.I. interview, so you can check that out on the 15th. That's when we're going to debut it. Who else?
You and the money.
Ludacris. Ludacris was another great interview.
Okay. We're digging that.
Yeah. Again, it's just like, for me, I like picking these guys' brains because they got so much going on and they're on just such a totally different level. And they took the platform of hip hop and turned it into a business. They turned it into to movies. Yes. They turned it into philanthropy. They turned it into politics. So I think that would be another one that was just one of my favorite ones. And then my third one. I really gotta think about that.
Okay.
I gotta think long about that. Maybe it's probably a toss up between Benny Pugh and Jacob York.
Okay. I'm not too familiar with those two artists.
Well, they're not artists. So Benny Pugh was the former president of Roc Nation.
Okay, okay.
And then before that, he was like executive VP at Epic Records, like L.A. Reid's right-hand man. He worked at Def Jam. Okay. And then Jacob York, you know, Jacob York has been in the game for a long time. Jacob used to run with Junior Mafia and manage Lil' Kim and Biggie back in the day. Look at both of these guys, especially Jacob York, man. Like, you'll find so much stuff on Jacob York, you're going to be like, whoa.
Listen, those are the ones to hear the stories from anyways, because they're the ones that's in charge, but they're behind the scenes, you know?
Right, exactly. So they, you know, they just have a different perspective, and there's so many stories and so much wisdom that these guys have. Hmm. So I really enjoyed talking with both of them, because I learned a lot from the conversation. Again, when I'm doing interviews, I'm not only getting information for the people, I'm getting information for me as well.
Fat, come on. All right, you're in the money, Jay. So now, talk to us about who are your dream interviews? Who are you like, yo, I gotta get an interview with this person? Like, is there, talk to us about who that you feel like you haven't gotten that you really like putting it into, you speaking it into existence.
I think the interview of all interviews, and he's not even an artist. If I was to interview Barack Obama,
I knew you was gonna say that.
I wouldn't have to interview nobody else for the rest of my life. I'd be good after that. Definitely Barack Obama. As far as an artist standpoint, uh-huh. I mean, I would love to interview Jay-Z.
Okay.
You know, I think that would be...
Yes!
That would be phenomenal. But yeah, those would probably be my two right there. And of course, Beyonce. You know?
Yes! You gotta put Queen B on there.
You gotta put Queen B on there.
Definitely.
Those would be my top three.
You wouldn't want to do Puff?
You know, I think I would want to do Puff because I've always been a fan of his for so long. I would definitely throw him up there.
Okay.
I say Jay-Z and Beyonce because they don't do interviews like that.
They definitely don't. That's a whole fact. Okay.
Yeah. you have a better chance of seeing Bigfoot riding a unicorn than seeing one of them do an interview, let alone them doing an interview together.
That's a whole fact, okay?
Yes.
How dope would it be if they was just to close out the year or start the year off with an interview?
Right, exactly.
Bless the people with 1 hour of knowledge for our domes, please.
Exactly.
But I don't know, you know, but I don't know why they just so, but you know, I guess they have to protect their peace, you know. So I can say like,
yeah, yeah. I mean, do they really have to do interviews?
They don't.
you know, you reach a certain level, it's like you don't really have to do interviews. How many interviews you see Drake doing?
It's true. That's a whole fact.
All right. Yeah.
Fact, how many interviews do you see pretty much anybody on the legendary status doing? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they move when they want to move.
Now, if you could bring back anybody dead to do an interview.
Oh my God.
I'll give you three. And three artists, your favorite artists dead that you love that you could bring back to interview.
Two off Rip, Biggie and Pac, of course.
Biggie and Pac, that's all. Yes?
Yes.
And
yes.
All right, that's both of them.
Biggie and Pac, of course, and you know, I would say Pop Smoke. Yeah, because the sad part was, like, maybe a couple weeks before he had passed, they were like planning a promo run for him in Atlanta, and he was supposed to come to the Pandora office, and I was very excited to meet him, because you know at that time he was really bubbling, and that's who you were hearing about, especially. You know, up in New York, everybody was talking about Pop Smoke and also at the Northeast. Yeah. And I was feeling his music. And so when the label's like, yeah, we're going to send him to Atlanta around these dates, we're going to bring him to the office. I was super excited about that. But then that tragedy happened. And, you know, it was an unfortunate situation. And it's crazy just to see, like, how his legacy is still living on, though. You know, like him, Juice WRLD, folks like that. You know, I just hate that it sometimes, like, it has to take something like that for the general population to realize somebody's greatness. You know, we got to appreciate these artists while we still have them.
I completely agree with that, man. And the comments is actually going crazy. And they said somebody mentioned Juice WRLD. They said official Adam Ricks saying Michael Jackson,
Prince,
Nate Dogg, Left Eye. Somebody else said Michael Jackson. But there's definitely Whitney Houston. Come on, I would love to Whitney get to talk to. I feel like that's one of the greatest voices. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, yeah, somebody was just calling me again. I'm sorry about that.
It's all good. Your line blowing up.
This is out of control, okay? We can't have this. All right, now, those are dope. I definitely think Pop Smoke, Pac, and Biggie for hip-hop, you can't really go wrong in those aspects.
Yeah.
But I feel like just in terms of world music, I would probably want to bring back Prince, Michael, and Whitney. Just
absolutely. You got to.
Definitely. All right. Interesting, bro. So now, what's next, man, for what you got coming on next, man? What are you working on that's cooking up that you can talk to us about?
Well, absolutely, man. doing more with Pandora Now, our station on SiriusXM. So really enhancing that and tying it all together, tying it back with Pandora. So we're working on really taking that station to another level. The other thing that I'm going to start doing next year is I'm going to start doing like workshops because people are always asking me and reaching out to me about, you know, advice and things of that nature. And I participated in like many panels, especially throughout the pandemic. And some are good. Some have been just okay. But what I want to start doing is put together like these workshops or panel discussions that really break things down in a way that no matter what type of level you're on, you'll get something out of it. Whether you're an artist just standing out, you're an artist that's bubbling, you're an artist that's established, that you'll get somebody, that you'll get something out of it. And, you know, it's not just going to be me. I'm bringing in people who are like essential to really an artist development or an artist career from different platforms, organizations, and especially now in the space that we live in, the digital space and how 2020 really just changed how artists are going to break and how artists are going to move even going forward, even after like, you know, things calm down and the vaccine gets down there. There's some things that are going to remain. There's some things that we're never going to go back to. So I'm planning on doing these workshops at least once a month. You know, it's going to be a low fee just to get in, but it's going to be worth it. And each month I'm going to bring in different people from the industry. It's going to be, you know, record label people, radio people, streaming people, influencers, different people around the music business that have something to do with actually breaking an artist and stuff and have a wealth of knowledge. So that's something I'm really excited about.
Yes, that's a whole fact. Let's clap it up for that. Now, Jay, you got to make sure you represent. I'm a choreographer and a creative director and a dancer. And you got to think, let's have this conversation real quick because I think hip hop has dances messed up. Okay. And I want to have that conversation because I feel like dancers are always left out of the conversation, right?
Okay.
And, you know, dancers don't really, we are with the backup, right? But we are the ones that push a lot of records. Right now, TikTok is what's happening. That's what everybody's doing in the crib.
Absolutely. Both
pushing records forward. And I feel like dancers don't get the proper compensation, the proper recognition, or the proper even right to even be able to own the right to what they do. If I make a video like this, and everybody do it, I'm not going to get a check for that because everybody's just doing it. Whereas if somebody writes the birthday song and somebody copies it, they would collect a residual check off that. You understand?
Right.
So what my job is now is to try to change the face of dance. I'm trying to change the way that we're respected and the way that we're viewed. And it has to start with even hip hop kind of accepting it more. I feel like dance is getting paid $100 when the artist is getting paid $100,000. Don't make
it. Yeah.
Okay, so you know that's a conversation that nobody ever talks about, but I feel like that's going to be something that's going to be changing up. And dancers is definitely feeling the way, and even right now through the pandemic, they're not able to work because these artists are not able to work. But how I find it bugged out that these record labels are not even checking in to see that these people usually be on tours and stuff, nobody's working. So how are you not checking in? You know,
so
dancers are really hurting right now. You know what I'm saying? So that's an interesting conversation piece, but I want to make sure that you definitely add a choreographer and people of creative directing, accents to that panel because that is crucial in making a lot of these artists be successful out here.
I totally agree, man. One of the things that I always tell a lot of artists is you know, go through those influencer marketing campaigns and stuff like that. Find choreographers or dancers like yourself that can create a dance that you can put on TikTok and all that kind of stuff. Like everything is strategic. People think, yo, I'm gonna put this out and go viral. Like, you know, going viral seldom happens organically. You know, there's always something behind it. There's something that they did. There's someone that they talked to. There's somebody that they paid for a campaign and then it went viral. It's rare. Not saying that it doesn't happen. Like, you know, you make a song in your basement, and then you put it out on the internet and it just picks up, that happens. But a lot of times you got to put like a process or a plan together behind it. So definitely, I will definitely reach out to you and include you when the time is right for it. Yes.
Absolutely. And even if not me, there's so many dope creative directors, choreographers that have been in the game that are responsible for Michael Jackson's moonwalk.
Yeah.
Okay, that person. you know.
Right, right. No, definitely. Absolutely.
Like, I feel like there's so much that's missing. I've worked with so many, I used to back up dance for a few artists, like Lisa Lisa and the Coat Jam, Cassie, you know, that was on Bad Boys. I danced for a few
artists. Yeah.
Struggle, and I understand that hustle because it's like, yo, I'm never really seen for real. Like, you really are the backup.
Like, right.
And I definitely think that just has to change. We got to, just make sure that happens. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
But now, bro, so now you're working on that next and that panel. Is there anything that interview coming up that we should be tuning in? You know, I'm getting ready to wrap up because I have Terrell Hicks.
Definitely, man. If you go to my profile, click the link in my bio, you can RSVP for the conversation that I got with T.I. We're going to air that this Tuesday at 8 p.m. It's a free virtual event. So you RSVP, you get the link, you just log on. There's no fees. And again, it's just a really good conversation. We talk about his musical journey. We talk about his most recent album. Talk about actually doing music with his kids now. We talk politics, all that kind of stuff. So, if you're a hip hop fan, or even if you're not a hip hop fan, there's going to be something in it for you. So, like I said, you click the link in my bio, on my Linktree joint, and you can just RSVP right there. And it's this Tuesday.
Man, shout out to you for pushing the culture forward, man. To even get T.I. on your platform, who's probably one of the biggest rapping moguls right now in hip hop, you know what I'm saying, to represent for Atlanta is definitely, something that's definitely pushing the culture forward, bro. So shout out to you for even being able to make that happen.
I appreciate that, man. I can't take the credit. It was definitely a team effort. My guy, Brian Calhoun, who's on the industry relations team at Pandora, me and him work together. He makes a lot of this stuff happen, and we just work together and try to do things to push the culture forward, especially here in Atlanta, where you got so much stuff going on.
Man, that's a whole fact. I heard Atlanta's trying to take over. New York is definitely on the dead side for entertainment right now. Which is-
I wouldn't say dead. Because I will say this. There have been a lot of great, this new wave of rappers coming out of New York, I've been a fan of. And I've been a fan of them for multiple reasons. One, because I was born and raised in New York, so I'm always going to be partial. I'm from Harlem originally.
From Harlem. Okay.
So I'm always going to have love for the city, and I'm always going to root for New York hip-hop. And I love Atlanta. Like, those are my two homes. But at the same time, like, I feel like this new wave, like cats like A Boogie with the Hoodie, J.I. the Prince, rest in peace, Pop Smoke, Fabio, Smooth L, the list goes on. Dream Dog, but they're doing it their way. You know what I'm saying? What's my guy's name? Rod Suno. I like him too. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But it's like they got their own style, their own swag, and they got their own New York movement. You know, it's not the traditional New York that we think of, like when growing up in the 90s and 2000s of what New York hip hop was. It was like, okay, they pay their respects. They still honor those guys. But it's like, nah, we're going to do our own thing. Like A Boogie was like, nah, I'm gonna be singing. I'm gonna have the melodic joint on there. You're gonna get some of that. Definitely. You know what I mean?
Hey, yo, New York, yo, come on. Even yesterday was supposed to be Ashanti. Before we go, we definitely gotta talk about this. The Keyshia Cole versus Ashanti. Ashanti is, even though she's an R&B artist, she's still such a major part of hip hop.
Yeah.
And Murder Inc. And Keyshia Cole is still a major part of hip hop. We're talking about her features with Kanye, and you know what I'm saying? So there's all these things definitely play an aspect into it. Talk to us about the versus battle that didn't happen yesterday. okay?
So one of my homegirls, she was like upset about it because she was ready. She was like, yo, we gonna watch this. I'm gonna be singing. I'm gonna have my wine and all that stuff. Now, I ain't gonna lie, like, you know, I was looking forward to it. I was like, it's cool. But to me, you know, after that Jeezy and Gucci versus, like, this one, like, I wasn't as excited about this one as I was about Gucci and Jeezy. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like, I thought this one was going to be cool. It was going to be nice. It's going to be a good vibe. But, like, the Jeezy and Gucci joint had everybody on the edge of their seat. Like, yo, this is a must-see TV.
Like, he was like this in NESC for the Gucci.
Right, right. And you're just like, you holding your breath because you could feel the tension in the room. You know, but the way it ended for them to perform that song together, there's so much history behind that and in the city and just being around that. It was a beautiful moment. So, like, I'm definitely looking forward to Ashanti and Keyshia Cole because I think they're so talented. And, I you know, like you said, like, Ashanti, she just takes you back on so many different levels. But man, yeah, after that Jeezy and Gucci joint, I was just like, what are they going to do after this? Because, like, that's a hard one to follow up on.
It is a hard one to follow
up. Yeah, they would have needed 50 Cent and Ja Rule to happen. You know? So, but nah, man, I think it's going to be dope when it does happen. And I just think Versus is another example of, like, how we got creative in the midst of a pandemic and just the power of our culture, man. Because, like, Jeezy and Gucci Mane had more viewers than the American Music Awards.
Crazy.
They had more viewers than the Country Music Awards. Crazy. So that's just the power of our culture, that something that wasn't even on TV
absolutely
had a bigger viewership. So I'm excited to see what they do next year.
I think Monica and Brandy actually beat the VMAs too when they
They had the highest viewership until Gucci and Jeezy.
Yeah, but that's to show you that when people, yo, black culture really is the pinnacle of what is entertainment. You know what I'm saying?
It's pop culture. Black culture is pop culture at the end of the day. It starts with us.
That's a whole fact.
Yes!
Man, we're going to close it out with that. Pop culture is black culture, all right? Bro, thanks for coming on and inspiring us, man, and keeping it G and keeping it real and keeping it positive, bro. And that's what it's about, man, on Black Culture to break down. So thanks.
Thank you for having me, bro. I appreciate it, man. I appreciate you moving your schedule around to make this happen and keep on doing what you're doing and push the culture. We need more platforms like this. We need more people like you that are willing to have these types of conversations.
Absolutely, man. We'll definitely stay connected, and we'll definitely be doing some more great stuff, man. I already see it happening, bro.
Absolutely, man. Be safe. Take care.
Be safe. Take care, man.
Later.